Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. And hey, a little bit later on this morning, the Golden Globe announced their nominees. And so we're going to talk about that tomorrow with Dan Feinberg. We're going to talk about the TV nominees. That's going to be tomorrow morning with Dan Feinberg on our Friday show on Fly JM's Friday. But that music you just heard is from a band called Spockin, and they've got a new EP. It's self-titled, right, guys?
Yes.
Self-titled EP. And the guys in the band are here, and they're going to play some music live, and they're playing at Shuba's a week from tonight, Thursday, December 17th. It's $10 to get in. We have all the information and links on our Facebook page. You can check it out right now at facebook.com/NickDShow. They also play at on a monthly residency at Bucktown's Gallery Cabaret, and this Saturday is their next gig there, so make sure you tune in for that. We welcome to the guys of the band. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Let's go around the room. You guys have to share a mic, so you got to get up on top of that when you're each going to talk. Let's go around the room. You guys can introduce yourself, and then we'll talk. Go ahead, man.
Hi, I'm Michael.
And you play?
I play bass.
Michael plays bass. A little louder on the mic there. Okay, next. Ken?
Hey, I'm Ken, and I play the guitar.
Ken plays the guitar. Next.
I'm Barkley, and I play saxophone.
Barkley plays sax.
I'm Josh. I play the trombone.
The trombone.
I'm Carl. I play the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Luke. I play drums.
Luke plays drums. Luke, guy's name is Luke. He's wearing a Darth Vader T-shirt. So you're proud of your dad?
He was effective.
He was very effective.
Yeah. Say what you want. He got
Luke,
things
are
done.
You wearing two Darth Vader T-shirts?
I was. I took one off.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me guess. You've got your tickets already for the 18th?
I don't want to go the opening night.
Okay. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I want it. It's an intimate experience for me.
Is it difficult to play the drums with that electronic hand?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's attachments, right?
What was that?
There's attachments, right?
Yeah.
Right. You can program it. It's probably easier, right?
It's like a Leatherman. It's got lots of different folding things and
okay.
Spatulas.
All right. So we got the obligatory Star Wars references out of the way.
Yep.
Because I think legally on the radio you have to mention Star Wars every 3 hours. I think that's how it is. I actually purchased my and I don't like Star Wars. Sorry. And I actually purchased my tickets already because I didn't want to deal with anything. So this is the first time I've ever like pre-bought tickets for a Star Wars movie.
Preemptively bought tickets.
I got a review. I have to review. I do movie reviews here on the station. So I got a review at that Sunday night, Monday morning.
Oh.
So I got my tickets for like a Saturday afternoon, and I just felt like I wanted to shower. Like I bought tickets to see Star Wars, and I was like, man.
How about you give me the tickets? I'll see it.
They're not very difficult, Luke. They're not very difficult to get. I can tell you that right now. I didn't have to go to a scalper to get the tickets for the Star Wars movie. All right, let's talk about how did this band? Do we have a ringleader? Is there a ringleader in the band? Everybody just looks right at Ken. Evidently, Ken, you are the ringleader. How did this band start? Get up on the mic, buddy.
I moved to Chicago in 2012.
Where are you from?
I'm from here, but I went to go to school for a little bit in Minnesota.
Okay.
And then I came back to Chicago in 2012, and I was just kind of looking to play music with some people. So I called up some people that I know, and I kind of went from there. Eventually, everyone started getting replaced. And now
you're stuck with these guys.
Yeah.
We're the B squad.
So it was just it was something that you wanted to do when you came back to Chicago. Did you go to Minnesota for music? Did you study music?
I did for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Did you miss the winters here in Chicago and that's why you came back?
Cuz
you know Minnesota's nice and warm.
I didn't really see too much of a difference, to be honest.
No.
Everyone says that, but like come on. If you live in Chicago, then you know what it's like in Minnesota.
Oh,
I think.
No, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I totally agree. Well, so you got these guys together. Now, how long has this current incarnation of Spockin been together?
About half a year or so.
Yeah, it's pretty fresh.
Fresh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you guys are kind of new as a group.
It seems like this is kind of Spockin 2.0.
Yeah!
Yes.
Right.
It seems like the personnel is finally kind of settled.
You know what it's like to me? It sounds like the Leatherman to me. All right, we got to take a break for the news. Everybody hang on. We'll get back and we'll talk to each one of these guys. We're going to hear some live music from the band. Spockin, you can see them this Saturday at the Gallery Cabaret and then next Thursday, the 17th, at Shuba's, which is a phenomenal room. All right, break the news coming up right here on WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That's a band called Spocket. You can see them with their monthly residency at Gallery Cabaret in Bucktown this Saturday. And then a week from tonight, on the 17th of December, you can see them at Shuba's. And we have the members of the band here. We have Ken, Carl, Josh, Barclay, Michael, and Luke all in here. We got everybody. Everybody's in here, and all their instruments are here. There's a full drum kit and keyboards. I don't know what's going on. We can't get to the bathroom because there's so many stuff. How you guys doing?
Fire hazard.
All right, cool. All right, let's talk. Well, Ken, let me ask you, since you started this this thing, what kind of music did you start? Would you listen to when you were younger, and what was the inspiration for playing an instrument?
I guess there's a kind of a mix of influences. I have Russian immigrant parents, so I grew up with like a lot of Russian folk music.
Oh, that's cool.
That's like one thing that I definitely have a lot of in my family that I actually grew up with. But yeah. My dad listened to classic rock also, so it was that like. Those were the two things I heard a lot.
Yeah. By the way, your name is actually Constantine.
It is actually Constantine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool name, man.
I know. Thank you.
Power.
I'd go with Constantine, man. I like the Ken. It's easier to remember. Mm-hmm. Do you go by Constantine?
I kind of go by both at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you like the movie with Keanu Reeves?
I don't really remember that movie.
Okay.
I call him Connie.
You call him Connie? Constantine's good, by the way. It's good. So that's interesting. Russian immigrant parents. Yes. What brought them here?
Work, maybe. I don't know. I was really little. Maybe. We never talked about it.
Yeah.
I'm just here now.
You're just here. You just happen to be here. And they immigrated. They came here to Chicago first?
Yeah. Well, like the north suburbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Very, very cool. So can you describe, you were saying, the Russian folk music that you listen
to? Well, I mean, that's what I heard a lot.
What was it? What was it like?
It's like, it's mostly like lyrical.
What kind of instruments?
Like usually just a guitar and voice.
Oh, okay. So that kind of folk.
Yeah,
like folk music, but with Russian language.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I heard a lot of that
growing
up, but... That's obviously not the kind of music that we play.
Clearly.
Yeah, I know. It's been a journey. It's been a journey, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you were listening to that when you were growing up. When did you, and I'm going to ask all you guys this. Okay, you play guitar. Do you play any other instruments?
Like, really poorly.
Okay, so tell me about when you, did you decide on the guitar? Was it something that you were always interested in playing?
When I was getting into music with some of my friend already had a drum kit. I really wanted to play drums, but he already had a drum set. And we were trying to start a band, so I was like, all right, I'll get the guitar, but you got to let me play your drums sometimes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened,
yeah.
But I got a guitar, and I just kind of went with it all the way.
Okay. So, all right. Now, let's go back to Michael here. Michael, you get up on the mic there. You play bass?
Yes.
You play any other instruments?
Guitar, you know, mm-hmm. Piano. I did trumpet, actually, in you know, grade school for
now,
a number
did
of
you,
years.
Now, did you go to one of those schools where they go, pick an instrument? Did you? Because I never did that.
They gave
that,
you,
but.
You know, one of everything. They're like, try and play a note out of this. Try and play a note out of this. And
so trumpet
you were
was your deal?
Successful at, that so was your instrument.
Trumpet was your instrument
for
a while. And then what brought you, what kind of music did you listen to when you were growing up?
I had parents who were, my mom's a classically trained pianist, and my dad is a self-proclaimed opera buff. So that's really what I was listening to. I mean, you know, I was in like a fourth grade after school listening to like Scheherazade on my Walkman. Freaking everyone out, you know, singing the melodies out loud. Probably thought there was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it took...
So we got opera, we got classical, we got Russian folk.
Yeah.
Man, we're learning
this is
lot.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah. All right.
It took until I was about maybe 13 or so until a friend started introducing me to more mainstream, you know, rock.
Like and popular stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like...
like better stuff.
Yeah, because I better stuff. Because I was the oldest brother. I was the oldest sibling. I didn't have anyone to show me anything. I didn't know any better.
See, that's a question that I'm going to ask later.
Yeah.
About that. So I have this question that I call the almost famous question. Have you guys seen the movie Almost Famous?
Sure.
Yeah?
I actually haven't.
You haven't seen
it?
All right, Almost Famous. It's you guys got to see it. You're musicians. You have to see it. And Almost Famous, it's the story of...
Stillwater.
Autobiography. Yeah, that's the band. Autobiographical story about Cameron Crowe, who when he was 15 was writing for Rolling Stone and actually touring with Zeppelin and other bands and things like that. So that's what the movie's about, this kid who becomes a rock journalist. And he discovers this kind of music, this classic rock kind of music, because his sister, his older sister, played by Zooey Deschanel, is leaving home and she gives him her album collection.
Yeah.
And he discovers The Who and Zeppelin and Tall and all these other bands and things like that. And that is always the question I ask, is if there was someone who did that for you. You seem to be the guy who did that for your younger siblings. Did you do that for your younger siblings?
No, not at all.
No, I was like, screw you, find your own music.
No, he didn't care what I was listening to.
No.
We share some stuff, common interest, but he's 4 years younger, and he ended up just going straight hip-hop, rap.
Oh, okay.
You know, white, suburb, classic,
sure.
Dying his hair blonde to look like Eminem.
Yeah.
At one point. Kind of thing.
Nice. So,
I gotcha.
Sorry.
Nice. I gotcha. Okay, what about you, man? Get up on the mic.
Yeah.
How did you start?
So,
You play sax?
Saxophone, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate. I had a good mix around me. My mom was really into jazz and R&B and funk, you know, so lots of Motown as well, and you know, Miles Davis, but my dad was really into classic rock, so he was jamming Jimi Hendrix and Creedence, but then my older brother, who's 5 years older than me, was big into punk rock and hip hop, so I was had, you know, my choice, my pick for everything. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. What about you? You play trombone?
Yeah.
Is that the only instrument you play?
I also play euphonium, okay. Tuba, okay. I'm getting better at that because I'm trying to teach it more. And I'm really awful at piano. I mostly use that for trying to write music, but
okay.
Gets pretty scary.
So how did trombone enter the mix for you?
Fourth grade band, pick an instrument.
There you go.
Trumpet was actually my first choice. I made the mistake of saying that trombone was my second choice, and they were so hard up that they drafted me right then and there. And that actually wound up getting me more opportunities than if I'd been a trumpet player, because there were fewer people trying to
do the same
thing.
I wonder why that is, because trombone's a cool instrument. I wonder why that is.
Well, the learning curve is pretty steep. You spend a lot of time sounding pretty terrible in the fourth and fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade. And you know.
Josh, you, as a trombone player, trombonist, I would like to recommend that you watch this movie. It's called The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie, but I always recommend it to people who – this is why I recommend it. To people who I know who play the trombone. It's this terrible movie from the 70s. I saw it in the theater when I was a kid, and it's based on a true story about this guy with a sack on his head with eyes cut out who was a serial killer. He ran around Texas killing people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the scenes in the movie – and you can actually YouTube this. If you just YouTube The Town That Dreaded Sundown, trombone. This will pop up. There's one scene in the movie, and I can't even believe that this is a real thing, but it's real. In the movie, he ties a girl to a tree and puts a knife on the end of his trombone and goes, blah, 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 and stabs her to death with it. I'm not making this up, man. It's a real thing. Town That Dreaded Sundown, trombone.
Oh,
YouTube that. Yeah. That's my gift to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Early Christmas for you, man.
In the spirit of giving, right?
Yeah, in the spirit of giving. That's right. Okay, and Carl, how'd you get it? Did you play piano when you were a kid?
Yeah, I played piano when I was a kid. I have an older brother, and he started I followed him through his musical path.
Yeah.
And so he started with a kind of your typical strict old lady, classical piano teacher, local piano teacher.
Sure.
And I started working with her. And she, I studied with her from childhood through all the way through high school.
Always the piano?
I actually, seems to be a similar thing. I also played trumpet for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for quite a while. I got pretty serious about it. And that's the instrument I actually got more into jazz with.
Yeah.
So I had a really great...
Did you listen to a lot of jazz when you were a kid?
Yeah, really. Once I got into middle school, I had a really great educator who turned me on to Miles Davis. He's like, check out Miles Davis.
In middle school?
Yeah, middle school.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, man. So I feel very fortunate. And I was lucky enough to then also be able to work with him in high school. He kind of got
the high school
gig.
That's cool, man.
Like when a couple years into high school, so... he got kind of got all that started. He was like, listen to Clifford Brown, listen to Miles Davis, listen to Lee Morgan, listen to all these guys. So I started that's checking that out, along with a few other guys who were kind of getting into improvising, kind of, and we all kind of found each other and started playing together.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Luke, what about you? How'd you start? Did you start with drums?
No, I started on piano, logically. I remember it was very sudden. It was like one day in second grade, I woke up and there was a piano in the house, and my mom was like, guess what? You're taking lessons. And
you didn't even hear him move it in.
No. I have no memory of like us considering the purchase or like moving it in or whatever. I just woke up one day and there it was, and I was taking lessons from a old lady who lived down the street who was barely competent. She's probably dead now.
Happy morning, everybody. Yeah. Happy morning.
But
so then how'd you get into drums?
Well, in fourth grade, I think I always wanted to play. I think after like a year at taking piano lessons, I decided I wanted to. Drums was just it was always like the most attractive instrument. It was just like the coolest one.
Yeah.
It was the most physical. It seemed to me the most that was kind of like dancing, and it was the most that. I mean, it seemed to me that you were responsible for the most.
Yeah, I gotcha. I know what you mean.
You know, so I always gravitated towards that, but my mom said you gotta stick with piano for another year before we'll, you know,
allow you to
make that kind of
to
noise,
wreck the house,
right?
Yeah.
To bring that nonsense in there. Yeah. So you know, it was around fourth grade that I picked it up.
All right, cool. We'll talk more about that, but I want to hear a song from you guys. So why don't you get on up and get your instruments ready and push that mic down for me, my friend Luke. All right. And we're going to get everybody ready here. As these guys are getting ready to go, they will be playing this Saturday as they do. It's a monthly residency at the Gallery Cabaret, which is in Bucktown. You can see them this Saturday. We'll give you more details on that. And they are going to be debuting their EP Thursday, December 17th, a week from tonight, at Shuba's. 3159 North Southport. It's a 21 and over show. It's $10 to get in. We've got all the information on our Facebook page. So we've got Ken, Carl, Josh, Barclay, Michael, and Luke. And what song are we going to hear? Can somebody just shout out the name of it? What are we doing?
Boomski?
Yes. All right, here we go. Here's a song called Boomski, and this is Spocket on 720 WGN. Whenever you guys are ready, go for it. Thank you. That was great, man. That was absolutely great. We got a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk with Spocket and hear more live music. Great stuff, you guys. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio here. And that is the music of Spocket, who played a terrific song here called, that was Boomski. And we heard that live in studio. We're going to hear another one coming up. These guys are playing next Thursday, December 17th at Shuba's, that they're playing this Saturday at Gallery Cabaret. And it's Ken, it's Carl, Josh, Barkley, Michael, and Luke. And during the break, they were having a spirited discussion about the movie Whiplash, which is it's interesting to hear people's impression of that movie, considering you guys are trained musicians. And Luke, my friend Luke here, who is the drummer, has not seen it, but saw enough of it where you had a pretty strong opinion about it. And you were just aggravated about the way the kit was set up, like the kid's kit was set up wrong. So you're not going to watch it just because it makes you mad. I can feel that. Well, I can feel that right now.
I just can't believe
you come up to the mic a little closer.
I just can't believe that, like, I haven't seen it. And who has? You, three, Carl, four.
Bits and pieces. I haven't seen it.
Okay, so three, half of us
half
have
of the band
it,
have seen it,
and they all enjoy it. You all think it's a good movie.
Well, no,
you just said that.
I didn't.
You guys both just said it was a great movie. Did they not?
I just say it was a great movie.
Barkley, you seconded it.
Remember, you can't swear. I want to keep this in mind. You see how this is going.
Barkley said.
Yeah, I think it was a great movie.
I just can't believe in a group of such talented musicians that half of them could fall victim to such
I think we can tomfoolery. We can remove ourselves.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah, what year is it?
All right. Let's move on. I'm glad I brought it up off the air.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm glad I brought it up off the air. By the way, we got some texts that just came in. 773 area because really like the sounds.
Oh.
Don says, great song, reminds me of the movie Dirty Harry.
Ah.
And the, well, there you go. We were just talking about Bird off the air. And another movie that Luke doesn't like. Streets of San Francisco TV show as well. Very groovy. Jerry says, hey, Nick, I just flipped the radio on, and I could have sworn you were playing Chicago, the band, because the brass was fantastic. Right. Well, you guys get a shout-out.
Hey, I like that.
The brass gets a shout-out. So the people are digging it, man. Everybody is liking it. You guys are great, man. You guys are really, really great musicians, and you play really well together. How? Let's talk about the songwriting process, how that works, and the process of just working together. Because You guys could probably have played that song for 15 minutes. It seems to me. Okay. You gave everybody a moment there, which you know to play around a little bit. But talk about the process. I don't know whoever wants to take the lead on this.
So, you know, being as it was really Ken's initial concept and kind of brought us in. He definitely brought the base of the songs, and it's been that way. You know, we obviously then take those and work collaboratively to kind of round them out, figure out a form, and so it's definitely a very collaborative effort. We're looking forward to. We've been really working towards this like EP show, and you know, getting this album done and everything. So we're really looking forward to the next batch of songs, which I think is going to be a little bit more, you know, like other people bring stuff in.
Do you guys find stuff by jamming? Do you ever just start jamming and you find something that you like and hang on to that?
Sometimes I think it's happened, but most of the time I think someone just brings in somewhat thoroughly composed, you know,
at least an idea.
Yeah,
at least an idea.
Most of the time, I want to say maybe all of the time, it's been someone who's brought in an idea, and we've developed it as a group.
Yeah, we're kind of polishing up a new tune that we're going to be playing Saturday and actually kind of...
And at the Shubas gig?
And at the Shubas gig.
Yeah.
That was kind of like that. Ken brought in an A section and what I think you originally were thinking about as a chorus. And then we ended up adding a different chorus and just kind of with experimenting around. And even as recently as, what was that, Tuesday?
Yeah.
That we were putting the kind of some of the final touches on it and adding some new things.
Oh, that's cool.
We're excited to play it.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, how often you guys play this monthly gig at the Gallery Cabaret? How did that come about? Was it just something that you guys sought out or?
No, they approached us. We had played there, I think just for a gig. Just
yeah,
for like a basic.
We were just booked there for one night.
Awesome venue, by the way.
Yeah, love that place. Mm-hmm. And they dug us and they reached out and wanted to have us do a consistent thing, and it's been fantastic. I mean,
it's great.
The staff there is awesome. They treat us
and
really
you got
well.
A Saturday night too, man.
And we got a Saturday night.
That's great.
And we get to book all the other bands, so we kind of have the run of the night as far as the music portion goes.
That's great, man.
It's been fantastic.
Now, you know, you guys are young. Considering how I'm 50, and so you guys seem young to me, okay? And I think it's really amazing that people over how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 27.
27.
27.
Yep.
25.
25.
25.
25.
27.
32.
32. So you're the old man of the group.
Yes.
Okay. So you guys are mainly in your late 20s, mid to late 20s. All right. I find it really absolutely awesome that this is the kind of music that you choose to play. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not you find some 25-year-olds walking down the street. This is not the kind of music that they're first of all that they would want to play, and second of all that they would be so damn good at playing. It's just you know what I mean. This gives me hope for the musical future. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm like almost double your age, and I'm like this is what guys in their late 20s are playing now. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Do you know what I mean? It just makes me, you know, so, but I like all kinds of music, but this kind of stuff just makes me happy to watch some really extraordinarily talented musicians play their instruments together.
It's a great scene for this
there's
kind
a lot of
music
of stuff going on.
Is it?
There's a lot of bands that, there's two other bands that we're playing with.
Who are you guys playing
on
with?
On the Shubas gig, there's a terrific band called the AV Club and then another band called, Astro Samurai that are both on that gig. And, really, kind of similar vibe to us.
So is there an actual scene for this kind of fusion?
Yeah, I would say.
You guys, do you talk with the other? I mean, you said you booked some of the bands for the gig you guys have on monthly on Saturday.
Yeah.
Is it in the sort of the same vein? Are they all the same kind of bands that you guys play?
We've been doing a mixture of stuff. We've been trying, like for instance, on Saturday, where we have two piano kind of singer songwriter led.
Oh, cool.
Bands. They're definitely doing a fusion thing, but not quite in the kind of funk jazz that we're doing. More of a, I don't know. Well, one of his Luke's other band. What would you call? What's Non Pronto?
What's your other band, Luke?
My other band is called Non Pronto. We're a piano driven like power trio,
okay.
Kind of like pop rock. Singer-songwriter stuff. I think we got asked to do that date at the Gallery Cabaret just because we've been using that residency as more of kind of like a testing ground for other groups and stuff like that. Almost as, I mean, not like a rehearsal or whatever, but we use that as a place where we try out ideas.
Sure, yeah.
And things like that, because it's that place that kind of has a built-in audience and we can, you know, I don't want to say they let us do whatever we want, but it's not as like a...
It's loose.
It's a lot more of a loose gig.
Who else is in other bands? You guys are all... How many bands are you in, Luke?
lots. I mean...
We all freelance a lot, so we all... And same thing, like you were talking about how well we know a lot of the other bands and kind of the jazz funk fusion scene.
Yeah.
We swap and sub out.
Yeah, we're always...
Like, every one of us has subbed out this gig.
Yeah.
To someone else. In a lot of them, a lot of the other plays are in these other bands that we work with.
It's really cool.
So it's a big... Yeah, it's a big scene.
It's a big scene. That's great, man. Great.
This Friday, I'm actually subbing in Astro. I'm playing drums in Astro Samurai, who's playing with us.
We're playing with you at Chubas.
I'm playing with them on Friday at Reggie's. So yeah.
Okay. What are some of the other places that you guys have played as Spocket? Where have you played besides your monthly gig? What are some of the places? What are some of your favorite places?
Favorite Underground's fun. We haven't played there in a while, but Underground Wonder Bar is
that's a great place. Yeah.
Tonic Room.
Tonic Room, we've played quite a bit.
Yeah, we just get a good response there.
One of my favorite places to play was Martyrs. Great stage.
Great room.
Good room.
How about you guys play Lincoln Hall?
Not yet.
That place is unbelievable. Yeah, in terms of acoustics,
That
place
location.
Was built. Well, the guys who run Chubas run Lincoln Hall, and they know what they're doing. Yeah, have you played Chubas before?
I have not.
No,
this is my first time. I haven't even seen anything there.
You've
never even been there. So,
oh man, oh you're going to be happy. I don't picture you getting happy very often, but I think you're going to be. I think you're going to be happy when you go to Shubas.
You're painting an awful picture.
I know, man. That's what happens when you don't like Whiplash. let's go around the room here. I always ask some standard questions of musicians when they come in here. There's just the two questions that I ask, and we'll start with Michael. Michael. First, and we're gonna go around. Everybody's gonna answer each question. First question: first album you ever bought? And I don't care if it's embarrassing.
No, it's fine. Because I was trying to think through it. Had my parents buy, or did I personally?
I guess what I'm talking about is like you had your allowance or whatever, and you made this choice, and maybe you went with your parents, but it was the one album that you wanted. It was the first album that you
wanted. The one that sticks out the most is Rage Against the Machine, Evil Empire, because that was when they first started putting the parental advisory stickers on.
Oh,
and so it was they were completely like, no, you. I was with my parents in the mall, you know, when there used to be malls,
right,
and music stores and things like that. And they were like, what's this? And I'm like, I don't know. Don't worry about that. Yeah. It's disregard. And so then I had to go back and buy it with my own time. Money. So
I like to call them Rage Against Vernon Hills, but that's just me. next.
The one that stands out, because I don't remember for sure, but the one that like just kind of remains in my memory because it was kind of a little bit more special, was Queen Night at the Opera.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now you're... Now you're singing my tune, my friend.
It's a good one.
Greatest frontman in the history of rock and roll.
Yes,
Freddie
totally.
Mercury, the greatest frontman in the history of rock and roll. We've got Barkley.
This is almost a cliche saxophone answer, but since it was the first album I bought with my own money, because my brother gave me tons and tons of albums growing up. But first album I bought with my money was in high school, in ninth grade. I bought Giant Steps by John Coltrane.
And there you go. All right, next, Josh.
Definitely Kind of Blue by Miles Davis.
Wow.
I think it was that, for me, I think it was that, I don't even remember the name of the album, that Smash Mouth?
Man.
Astro Lounge.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
I think with the,
Are those the guys, hey now, you're an all-star, is that Smash Mouth?
Yeah.
The Godfather's of Bowling Shirt Rock. Yeah.
It was like,
wait a minute, wait. I'm sorry. I've never heard that term before, man.
I don't want to, I'm not
Bowling Shirt Rock?
I'm not going to take credit for it. I heard it somewhere, but that's
fantastic,
that's
man.
There was like six bands in that era. They all wore bowling
shirts. My God. I love that very much. All right, Luke, what your first album?
I think the first one I remember buying with my own money was Hello Nasty by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, man, okay.
Ooh. And it came out right around when I was in fifth grade, and I remember the... I grew up in like the suburbs of D.C. and like the extended day people at my elementary school were really into hip-hop
because
they all lived in D.C., and so they got me into hip hop, but I couldn't, since you know I was not in that parental advisory window that Mike mentioned. My parents knew what that meant, and that was all over all the hip hop I really wanted to buy. But the Beastie Boys didn't; they couldn't understand what they were saying.
So you were safe.
Yeah, I was safe with
them. All right, real quick, and then we're gonna break, and we'll come back and close everything out with a song. All right, cool. But real quick, first concert you ever went to?
Dave Matthews Band.
I'm wearing a Dave Matthews Band t-shirt. My last show was number 37 on of Seeing Dave. Nice. Go ahead.
I don't remember. I could have been Kid Rock.
Okay. 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 Next.
This is kind of an odd one. My brother snuck me into a Sum 41 concert.
Yeah.
Now, is that Bowling Shirt Rock?
No.
No, quite.
Not quite.
Okay, Josh.
I can't honestly remember the first concert. First one that really made a difference to me was seeing the Dave Holland Quintet at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was young, like a kid, I saw my dad drove me down here to Navy Pier, and I saw Little Richard.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool, man. Awesome. All right. And Luke?
First concert I bought a ticket and went to go see was this local D.C. band, Dismemberment Plan. I don't think they're together anymore, but they were.
It's a great name, though.
They're popular in
D.C.?
Yeah, among the D.C. kind of alt-punk scene, yeah. They're real popular.
All right, cool. And I'm sure you hated it. All right, we got a break. You had a great time. All right, you guys, get ready. Get to your instruments. We're going to come back, and we'll hear another song. All right, that's Spocket. We're going to hear another song. You guys are great. We got a break here. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. This band is called Spocket, and these guys are great. They are going to be playing this Saturday at the Gallery Cabaret. What time is that gig, you guys?
Music starts at 10. Okay. We are the late-night band, so we're probably going to be hitting around midnight.
Okay, cool. So come on out to the Gallery Cabaret to see some music. And then they're playing at Shuba's, and this is a really cool big gig for you guys because you guys are like, is it going to be the debut of the EP?
Yep.
So that's an exciting thing, and that'll be coming out. The EP will be coming out, and then on Thursday, December 17th, a week from tonight at Shuba's, 21 and over show, it's $10. All the information and all that cool stuff is on our Facebook page. You guys are really, really talented, man.
Oh,
I mean, like,
you,
really
man.
Great
thank
musicians.
You, thank
and
you.
And the compositions are interesting, and really the arrangement is great, and it's just really cool. It's really, really cool. Now, how did you end up, like Ken, you said, by the way, it's Ken Stebley, Carl Kennedy, Josh Torrey, Barclay Moffitt, Michael Lang, and Luke Angle. And Ken, you kind of put these guys together. Did you see these guys in other bands? Is that how it worked out? Or?
Oh, man. I think it's, there is a Craigslist ad in there somewhere that kind of brought everyone together.
Yeah.
I think just one that, like, was the real, like, you know, first domino. I think it was a roommate of Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
how about on the mic, Luke?
We,
my apartment slash our rehearsal space was where you guys were originally rehearsing the original incarnation of Spocket, which was with pretty much everyone different.
Yeah.
And I think you guys were auditioning drummers, right?
We were auditioning drummers, and you had to listen to all the drum auditions.
And they didn't.
Man.
It seemed like they were having a rough time.
Oh, yeah. There was
yeah.
Yeah.
So and, you came in and you got the.
Well,
you lived there.
Yeah, I lived there, and my roommate was playing sax in the band at the time. My former roommate was playing sax in the band at the time. And the music started growing on me. Like, I started to like probably like, you know, 70% of the tunes that you guys were playing. I started really digging them.
That's a lot for him.
I know. I'm just going to say.
I just really started digging the music and really started liking hanging out with Ken. And it was a good vibe. And so it was easy for me to kind of fall into that group. They were already rehearsing at my spot. It was a good hang. And yeah. The music was good. So,
That's cool. So this, you were talking about this EP is done. You guys are going to play a bunch of tunes from it and have it on sale at Shuba's a week from tonight. And you said you were working on other stuff now. Are you guys going to do another EP?
Well, probably not for a little bit. I think we're going to try and steer the band towards some new music. I think we've been working really hard on getting this EP done and getting this show set up. We're definitely going to keep playing out, but we were talking about bringing some new material into the band to kind of freshen things up.
New material in terms of style or?
Just new songs.
Yeah.
I know some of the other guys in the band had ideas for songs.
Yeah.
I kind of even asked the guys if they had ideas to bring in, because I've been doing a lot of the songwriting, and I didn't it's not like I wanted it that way. It's not like I wanted it to be the Ken Stebley band. I was like, hey, guys, right. You know, got a song, bring it in, it's cool. And that's, you know, kind of starting to happen, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some new wrinkles.
Yeah.
And some new influences and some new wrinkles in some of the new tunes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's great, man. Well, you guys are great. I mean, that's all I can say. You guys are tremendous musicians, and it was fun to watch you, and I'd love to have you guys come down. The question that I have now, you guys have the EP, you recorded the EP. What do you like better? Do you like the recording or the playing out? It's two different beasts, I know that.
As far as the recording process?
Yeah.
Okay, either listening to the recording?
No. The recording process or the playing out process, those two. I know they're two different animals, right. I realize that, but... Well, then what do you like about each, and what if you like anything better?
Personally, live for me. I mean, recording's fun and all, because you get to, you know, go back and fix all your little mistakes. But, you know, the live mistakes are kind of what makes it special and, you know, unique each time we play the song. So
yeah.
That, to me, is more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I agree. I think the live aspect is definitely more preferable. I tend to get nervous in the studio.
Oh, that's interesting.
I feel like everything's under a microscope.
And you know what? Because you're paying for every minute, that might have. Do you think maybe that has something to do with it? Subconsciously, it's like, man, we're paying for this.
Yeah. Well,
It
kind of feels like at a certain point it's down to the wire. And I don't know. I would much rather have a live setting where it's just kind of it is this thing that happened in this period of time and just take it.
Yeah, I think the other thing about playing live, especially for a lot of our backgrounds, a lot of us come from a jazz background, where the interaction between the entire ensemble is forefront, is crucial.
Absolutely.
And so in the studio, it's harder to do that, especially when you're tracking things separately. Yeah. We were able to do some of the recording, some of the EP live, a lot of the rhythm stuff, we kind of all did together.
Where'd you record it?
We recorded at Gravity.
Gravity.
Gravity. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to make sure I got that right. But just kind of going back and overdubbing stuff, it's a little bit different of a process. I love that live moment. I love being surprised by a moment of music while I'm performing.
If something's happening, I know that you guys, you know, that the songs are recorded and, you know, they are a certain length and they have but if something special is happening during a gig, do you let it go? Do you just keep going? Do you keep playing?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
There's no stopping.
Yeah.
Starting over with a group like this. I mean... Yeah, that I don't think it's ever train wrecked. At any point, like, we've always managed.
Don't jinx
to...
us now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but stuff does open up. Like, if a soul is really, someone's really taking their time with something, or someone's trying stuff. Even today, one of Josh's solos kind of went to a different place than I think it ever has before.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Very, very cool. Now, you said somebody said that your older brother gave you a bunch of albums. Yeah. Anybody else have that I was talking about a little bit earlier? You no. Yeah. You did. What about you, Josh? Did you have any? No.
I had the educator I was talking about earlier. He threw a bunch of jazz and a bunch of stuff at me that really helped.
Luke, what about you?
You got
older brothers or sisters or anything?
I have a younger brother by about 3 years. My musical influence, my mom was really into jazz and like R&B and soul, so that was kind of cool. But my dad really didn't listen to much at all. So I think once I decided that my mom's music wasn't going to be like the main path, like the my mom's music wasn't going to be the main path I took. I had to discover a lot of stuff on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have a lot of people giving me directly albums like, go listen to this album, go listen to this album. I had to like discover a lot on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an only child, so I had to, like, you know, my parents were young when they had me, and so I grew up during the club. I was telling you guys off the air that I got to see Zeppelin, and I grew up on the classic rock stuff, and I remember my dad when I was younger. I remember my dad saying, "Come here," and putting the needle on the records. You guys don't remember these things called records. Yeah, you do. You're into jazz, of course you do. But he would put he's like, "Come here for a second." He says, "This is Cream," and he put Cream on, and I heard White Room for the first time, and I was like, what's going on in my head right now, man? So that was like a big moment for me was that and Zeppelin 2, the album Zeppelin 2. I used to listen to that thing over and over and over and over
wear
and over
it
again.
Out.
Yeah, wore it out. And then, of course, you know, the Beatles, and that goes without saying. But anyway, you guys are great, man. And best of luck to you. Anytime you guys want to come down here and jam, please.
Oh,
yeah, please. It's a lot of fun to watch you guys working. I love this kind of music, and it's really kind of fun. And I don't know, whenever I see, like, really, this is one of the reasons why I've told you guys this off the air. One of the reasons why I've seen Dave Matthews Band 37 times is because I love to watch great musicians work. And those guys are some of the best musicians I've ever seen in my life. And to watch those guys just jam, they don't even care, man. It's like great jazz is this deep, and they're not jazz, but they're obviously jazz influenced.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they'll go for 15, 20 minutes on a song, and I could watch that all day long.
Right.
You know, I mean, just watch great musicians work, and that's what you guys did in this studio tonight. It was great.
Well, thank you so much.
Really, really
appreciate it.
Okay, we got a break here for the weather and the traffic, and these guys are packing their stuff up, and we're going to move on to. You guys ever buy anything off of Sky Mall? When you know you're on the plane and you look at the catalog, you ever buy any of that crap?
No. But
my friend Esmeralda in the newsroom is very excited about the next topic, right, Esmeralda? Right, Nezzy?
Oh, I'm already picking stuff out.
All right, well, we'll find out what you've ordered and how much your credit card bill is going to be next month, but we got to take a break. You guys, again, thank you so much. It was great.
Thanks.
Spocket will be playing at Shuba's a week from tonight, and they will be playing at Gallery Cabaret this Saturday, as they play once a month at Gallery Cabaret. And is it Spocket.com?
It will be. It is not yet. Currently, it's Spocket.Bandcamp.
Oh, Bandcamp, sure. Spocket.Bandcamp.com. But we have a link on our Facebook page, and all you guys, Facebook.com/Nick D Show.